please. All right, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your word and your presence. We thank you for your graciousness, your goodness, your anointing in our lives, and all the things that have been broken that the enemies try to use against us. No weapon formed against us will prosper. We thank you for the path smoothing out, and I thank you for your word says in Proverbs 4 that the path of the righteous, that we shine brighter and brighter. Thank you for the greatness of who you are in us and through us. And we give you praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Everybody said,
amen.
Everybody shouted,
amen.
Amen. You know, as I was coming in the service today, someone made an off comment, which is something I think typically we could say a lot. And we got talking about, man, that was a lot of church. It was amazing. It was powerful. Physically, it was tiring. How many people hit the snooze button at least once today? Come on, let's be real. Physically, it was tiring. Spiritually, it was amazing. And they just made a quick comment. They said, whoa, it's going to be nice to get back to norm. And I thought, wait, we don't want to go back to normal. Listen to me. We don't want to go back to what your normal is. You know, the human tendency is to think that your normal is everybody's normal, and it's not. You have your own very distinct normal. And there's tendencies where when we get hunger and thirst after righteousness, we're going to be filled. Those who seek God, God's going to seek you, and you're going to have a God encounter. God's doing a change. And if you invested that much energy and time to be in the presence of God and the Word of God, let me encourage you, don't let your next goal to be to go back to normal. I like to think of it this way. You need a new normal, a normal plus plus. Come on, somebody. Something that might look a little like where you were, but a lot better than where you were. You don't need to go back to where you were. Same problems, same hang-ups, same crazy people, same temptation. No, we need to grow. And it always amazes me when I see people that love God going to heaven and have been in the church for 60 years, but they haven't grown in 60 years. They still deal with the same problems that for the last 60 years. They are still at the same level for a whole 60 years. Something should be changing. Someone should be growing. Things should not be the same for you. If you're dealing with the same issues, the same hang-ups, the same problems for the last 5, 10, 20 years, something's not right. We need to grow. Say, I need to grow. And if we're not taught any different, we'll think, oh, we'll have these great meetings. Woo, I feel wonderful. Okay, Jesus, I'll be done with you until I have that problem again. Crisis management Christians only come to God when there's a problem. And that's not you in the name of Jesus. You're here on Sunday morning after all those meetings. You're here. That tells me that you're hungry for the things of God. But there's people who are watching and listening who might be sitting there and say, well, isn't it supposed to be that way? You kind of, when you run into a valley, you go to God and he'll bring you back up. And then you just leave God alone until you run into a problem and he'll fix that problem. No, that's not, God's not a candy vending machine you only go to when you need a miracle. Some of us keep going back. We gravitate back. Oh, I've been in so many services. I don't need to go to church for a while. Now I got I got so many boxes checked. I can go for a couple months without having to go to church. I'm fine. I don't need to read the Bible. Oh, I've been in church a lot this week. I'm fine. What is fine? Oh, that means I'm better than I used to be. But then you turn off the faucet and the water drains out and you get empty again and you go back to where you used to be, and you think, oh, this is the way it's always been. It don't always have to be that way in the name of Jesus. It don't always have to be that way in the name of Jesus. It doesn't always have to be that way for you in the name of Jesus. Your past norm doesn't have to be your new norm. God can bring you up and progress you and develop you and advance you and walk you through. But a human tendency in life, a human tendency even in our Christian walk, is to hit a place and just camp out. Praise God for what he's done. And I'll celebrate. And oh, I remember those prayer meetings we used to have in 1972. Woo! We knew how to pray then. Well, why aren't you praying now? We can get to a place of comfort zone where we think, I'm good enough. I'll just kind of glide from here. And you're not growing from there. And you're missing out on what God has for you. I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father has such amazing stuff for you, opportunities, lives to be touched, people to be reached, for you to grow, for you to go, for you to be what God's called you to be. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not talking about you going after what God's given somebody else. That's greed. I'm not talking about you going after what doesn't belong to you. That's greed. I'm talking about you having all that God wants you to have. You fulfilling what God's called you to do. You reaching those people that God's called you to reach. You can't reach everybody, but God's called you to reach somebody. We get so competing where we're trying to compete with the neighbor or the friend who's doing so much, and I need to beat them. No, you need to fulfill what God's called you to do. I mean, how many people are going to stand before the throne of God and say, look what I did? And God said, but I didn't ask you to do that. Jesus said, it's those who are obeying, hearing and obeying the will of my Father. Those are the ones that are going to enter the kingdom of God, not those who are trying to compete with their neighbor. It's those. I mean, God wants you to grow. God wants you to learn. He is not interested in you being stagnant. Do you know what happens to water when it gets stagnant? There's stuff that it starts attracting that you don't want around your life. Don't shout me down now. I mean, just go ahead and leave your pool full of water. Turn off that filter in the back. See what starts flying around after a while. You might not notice it at first. You might think, oh, no big deal. I'm not near. Don't worry. It's going to try to get into your stuff eventually. Start drawing those gnats and those mosquitoes and those bugs and those whatever. Come on, somebody. And there's a lot of Christians that they got to a place where they're comfortable and they think, oh, I'm good. And they stay. But God doesn't want you just to stay where you've been. He wants you to reach the destiny, to finish the race. Hebrews 12 tells us to run the race set before us. He wants you to finish the race, not sign up for the race, not I got the clothes for the race, not that I used to run in the race. He wants you, say he wants me, to finish the race. So we don't want to stay where we've been. We want to keep open and keep growing, not competing, not comparing, but just obeying. We see this context of happening in the journey of who the Bible refers to as our father of faith, Abraham. Just because he was the father of faith, just because he had an amazing destiny, just because God utilized him in a powerful way to birth a nation, just because he's seen an amazing miracle of having children at an old age, come on somebody, doesn't mean that he was perfect. Doesn't mean he was perfect. In fact, we're going to look at the context of a verse where he began to get a little, I'm going to just throw my translation in there, I think a little upset with God. Have you ever been upset with Jesus? Come on, somebody, you have. Jesus is just lying to yourself right now. You think, well, if I say it, he'll hear it. He already knows it. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your heart. You might as well be real. Say, I got to be real. And he was in a place where he had obeyed God, had left his family, his land, was traveling, was seeing God bless him, but he was still struggling because he hadn't reached destiny yet. Look to your neighbor and say, don't stop. Let's pick up in Genesis, if we can, throw it on the screen. In Genesis, we see this verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came at Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. He said, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Fear not, Abram. And God begins to reveal who he is to Abram. He had just blessed him, but he was keeping the revelation and the focus on God. He wasn't keeping the focus on the stuff. He said, look at me. Look at me. Don't be afraid. Focus on me. We get so caught up sometimes even in our victories. And Paul says, I got to learn to forget the things behind me because the stuff behind me, good or bad, could direct me, distract me, or redirect me away from the source. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He said, look, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. He began to give him a vision, a revelation. The revelation of God's word, listen to me, the revelation of God's word is the key to your walk with God. Not the information, the revelation. Not the information, the revelation. You can read the Bible and try to store it all in your head, but it's what's revealed to your heart by the Holy Spirit, the word of God, that you follow and obey. Joshua 1, verse 6 through 8. Don't take my word for anything. Please challenge everything with the word of God. It says that God told Joshua to meditate on the word day and night. And as you do, you will observe to do. And as you do that, then you will have success. Then you will have victory in your life. What are we going to do? We begin to see, have a revelation of what God is showing us to do. You know, a struggle with a lot of Christians is we try to copy what God has told other people to do. You don't need to know what God's called somebody else to do. You need to know what you need to do in your journey. It's like if you and a friend were meeting in St. Louis, you're coming from West Coast, one's coming from the East Coast, and you happen to call and say, Pastor Greg, how do I get to your church? I can tell if I gave one set of instructions, somebody's going to be right, somebody's going to be wrong, because they're coming from a different direction, a different perspective. God knows where you're at. Jesus said your Heavenly Father loves you so much that even the very hairs on your head are numbered. He cares for you. He knows what you need, and he wants to give it to you. He's your all-sufficient one. He's your El Shaddai, which means the full-breasted one, which means that he has plenty for you. You know, when Logan was born, my daughter, who's going to be 11 soon, when Logan was born, she was came a few weeks early, and so they kept her in the NICU for a little bit. And one of the things that we learned, which, and she's healthy, perfect, fine, praise God, hallelujah. She's growing. She's maturing. She's becoming a teenager soon. God help me all. God help me and everyone I try to hurt that tries to get close to her, Jesus. She's going to be 11 soon, though. And but one of the things the doctor had us do, now catch this, tell me, and this blows, it was amazing to me, and how anybody can say that there's not a God, you throw these things at them. The doctor told us, they had Kim Kangaroo Logan. Have you ever heard of this idea? Some of you, maybe most of you know. How many people have never heard of this? Don't feel bad. I've never heard of it in my life. The few of us are, okay, the rest of you are not, being honest, you're not playing, but that's okay. And what they would do is they would have Logan hold Kim. Let me say that again. Kim hold Logan. Boy, that would be different. They would have Kim hold Logan on her breast, skin to skin. And when Logan's skin would touch Kim's skin, Kim's body, the mother's body, would be able to detect what the baby was deficient in and would put in her milk the exact nutrients that she needed at that moment. This is the doctors, and they had, because they knew when that physical contact was made, that Kim's body could pick up what, so if Logan's body was deficient in a vitamin, Kim's body would know it, Kim's mind wouldn't know it, her body would know it, and it would put it in the milk, so when she would nurse, Logan would get, talk about a tailored DNA design of nourishment specifically. I had never heard of that before. But man, that stuck with me. Think about that. How many people approach God from a distance or approach God with all these layers and baggage of I'll get somewhat close to you. But when you get vulnerable, not vulnerable with other people, I'm talking about when you get vulnerable and real with God and say, God, this is who I am and I'm hungry for you, and you begin to make contact with your Heavenly Father and your walk with him. He has, James says this way, desire the sincere milk of the word. He has a DNA detailed, tailored rhema revelation from his word just for you in your moment of today. I love when I hear people say, oh, Pastor, you said you had a word today that was exactly what I needed to hear. And sometimes I don't want to tell them. I didn't even talk on that subject. But they have a way of hearing what the Holy Spirit reveals the word to them. And I might have said something passing, and the Spirit of God made it alive and come in their spirit that's in line with the Word of God. And they're like, that's what I needed to hear. Do you know, don't read the Bible just for information. You need to read and go to the Word of God that you're getting nourishment out of it. And you look for some scripture to come alive. What is happening? God is giving you the DNA revelation that you need, that detailed, tailored word just for you today. See, you don't need to be copying somebody else's word. It might not be your deficiency for the moment. He's got the right thing for you at the right moment to help you grow in what he has called you to do. So back to this verse. So that might not be a verse that you need. You might not say, okay, God, you're my shield and exceeding great reward. Yada, yada, yada. That's not for me. That's okay. That might not be your word. That was Abraham's word for the moment. But you keep focusing on God because he'll reveal who he is to you that will give you the rhema, the revelation of what you need. Most people don't get there because they're afraid. Well, if I get vulnerable with God, if I'm honest with God, if I begin to pursue him with my whole heart, he might ask me to give up and sell everything and move to a foreign mission field, and they don't even have internet there. Let me help you out. God doesn't ask you to do stuff that you hate. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll place his desires in your heart. Some people think that means if you have a desire for a new car, he'll give it. No, it's actually, if you look at the next verse, it says, commit your works to him and he'll bring it to pass. Bring it, what is that? The desire. What is, when God wants you to be a missionary, talk to people who God's called to be missionaries, and they'll give up everything and they will love it. You're like, are you crazy? No, they love it. Why? Because they're called to be a missionary. Find people who are adopting children so they can add to their family and love them. You're like, are you kidding? You could have the season of empty nests, go out every night, do what you want, keep your money. No, not them. Why? Because God's placed on their heart a desire to continue to nurture people. Abraham, I'm your shield and exceeding great reward. Next verse. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Now catch this. Here's where the attitude kicks in. He's saying, God, what's the big deal? Seeing, say seeing.
Seeing.
Say seeing.
Seeing.
Notice his perception of what he saw was that he was childless. Therefore, what good is it doing me anyway for you to bless me? It's going to someone else's kid. He knew that God had called him to be a father. He knew that what the purpose was. But he was in a phase of his journey where he had come to a place and he stopped advancing, and the Bible says, see. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, it makes a big deal, because we receive by faith. All the promises of God you inherit by faith and patience. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not, not what? Well, see, Pastor, seeing's not important. Wait a minute, you got to understand the context of what's being said. The evidence of things not seen. That's actually, you could say it this way, the evidence of things that you cannot see in this natural temporary world. Three-dimensional world. Because later in that Hebrews 11, it talks about men and women of faith, and it talks about them living in faith. Though they did not receive it yet, they had seen it afar off. What did they see? They saw in their spirit. They saw the revelation. They saw the vision. They saw what God had called them to do, who God called them to be. And they begin to pursue with ambition and with strength and energy and desire what God had placed on the inside of them. And it, didn't God tell them, say, hey, every place you see that your feet walk on, you can have it. But if you can't see it, you can't walk on it. You can't walk on it, you can't have it. Your eyes have to see before your feet will walk on it. You'll never have what you have not caught the vision of yet. You have to catch the vision of who God is and who he's called you to be before you can ever. God's not backing up a truck and hitting you with stuff that you've never heard of. Oh, I didn't even believe in healing, and God healed me. Probably not going to happen. God loves you. You'll go to heaven. And there's people, Christians going to heaven, but if they don't see Jesus as their healer... God loves you. Go to heaven. But if you don't see Jesus as your provider, God loves you. And you're going to heaven. But if you don't know Jesus as your Prince of Peace, it goes all the way through. It comes into knowing who he is so you can receive what he has. But if you don't catch the vision of it, if you don't get the revelation of it, it won't make sense to you. You're like, oh, that's not for me. Because I've always been here. Life has never changed. And the Bible tells us not to focus on the temporary, which means things subject to change, but to begin to make a priority and focus on the eternal. Jesus said, the word of God is eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away before my word fails. Isaiah 55:11, God's word goes forth. It will not return void, but it will accomplish all that it's assigned to do. Let's keep that verse up if we can. Say with me, things are changing. It doesn't mean things are bad right now. But it means that God's norm for you is a plus plus. You say, ooh, I'm enjoying life. Well, praise God, but let's not stay there. Let's keep moving in that journey to fulfill the race that God's called you to run. See that gold childless, verse 3 now. Are you guys doing okay? Y'all doing okay? And Abram said, behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. Notice, I want you to stop here. I need to always stay open for fresh direction and revelation. Sometimes we'll get an amazing revelation or direction that God is using and working and building and growing in our life, and we'll stop. We need to keep being open. God, speak to me. David said, I lay my life before you, Father, as a book. Search me out. We're saying, you know what I need. You know what I need to do. You know what I'm missing that I don't see yet. I want to see what I'm supposed to see. I want to hear what I'm supposed to hear. I want to know what I'm supposed to know. I want you, he's not going to give you 20 steps ahead. I want to know today's step. Lord, speak to my heart. It doesn't mean you're hearing voices. It's the word of God becoming alive to your heart. And it starts out, this whole journey starts out like a seed, Matthew 13 tells us. It's growing. Say, it's growing. Say, I'm growing. Notice, the word of the Lord came unto him. Here's the fix from us getting stalled. We need to be open to receive from God. He said, this shall not be your heir, but he that will come forth out of your own bowels, he shall be your heir. He's correcting the direction. You think, Abram, I'm going to make you father through the heir of some other servant child. You don't understand. I'm going to still use you. But I'm too old. I'm still going to use you. Sarah, she's never had children. I'm still going to use you. I'm still going to use you. We can disqualify ourselves from the assignment that God has for us for so many different reasons. And if you can't think of any, don't worry. The devil probably will remind you of a few before you leave. But you got to keep in mind, God is saying, I'm still going to use you. I have a plan for you. But God, you don't understand. I'm still got a plan. The gifts and calling are without repentance. I'm still going to do what I want to do if you're willing to obey. This shall be your, but thou shalt come forth out of your own bowels. Notice verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, I want to stop here. Notice what God does. And this is how I believe God leads us. He brought. He didn't push him. Some of us are waiting for God to drag us. Well, if God wants me to have it, it'll happen. Well, I tried and it didn't work. Well, wait a minute. Really what's happening is you tried your plans. And you wanted God to bless your plans. Because I really believe that there's two different groups in humanity. One is the ones who are willing to wait and hear from God, but they struggle in trying to do anything. God told you to do something. I'm getting around to it. No, you need to do it. There's some of us that you're a go-getter. You're getting things done, but you have a struggle in slowing down and waiting to find out what needs to be done. And you're just trying to do anything. Oh, so it worked for somebody. I'm going to do what they did. No, you need to get a revelation. God will lead you. He doesn't drag you. He's not going to push you. The devil pushes. Jesus leads. He said, I'm the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. What are you saying? They're following me. I'd like for Jesus to give me the 10 steps. No, he just says, follow me. It's like following someone in the car. You don't have to know where you're going. You don't have to know where the turns. You just have to know who you're following to get to your destination. Look, he brought him forth abroad. Say abroad. When God gives you a revelation, he's bringing you to a bigger place. He doesn't push you down. I remember growing out of this, I used to think, man, if I made one mistake, that I had to start all the way at the beginning. God had pushed me all the way back to step one. No, God doesn't do that. He's bringing you to a bigger. He said, he's bringing me to a bigger place. Notice, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. Here's a mental picture for you to see. He is in his tent, and God brings him out of his tent, brings him forth abroad, and says, now look to the heavens. He brings him out of his tent. He brings him out of the place of Abram's ability to build. Abram was living and his world was based on what he could see, and what he could see was defined by the boundaries of what he could build. He was in the tent, look around saying, God, I have no children. I see myself childless. This is good as it gets. How many times as Christians have we looked around with our natural eyes and said, this is as good as it's going to get? And God said, I don't want you to see just by your natural eyes. I want you to see by your spiritual eyes. And he brought him out and said, don't look at what you can build. Begin to look at what I can build. Look to the heavens. That's what I can do. The tent, that's what you can do. That's what I can do. That's what you can do. That's what I can do. This is what you can do. This is what I can do. And as long as you are just seeing your life based on what you can do, your dreams are too small, your goals are too low, you are not reaching the destiny that God has for you because you are looking within the confines of your ability to build. And God said, don't focus on that. Look to me. The Bible says, New Testament, looking unto Jesus, the author, that means the one who starts this, and the finisher, that means the one who completes this, the author and finisher of our faith. God said, come out from the defined boundaries of you and begin to dream and see what I can do. And then he tells them, now start. See the stars? Start counting. We have no idea if he tried, how many he tried, to what point. Have you ever tried counting stars? At a certain point, you give up because you don't have the ability within yourself. At a certain point, he had to give up because he didn't have the ability with himself. Romans 4 says that he got to a place where he stopped depending or considering his own body, now 100 years old. And neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise is well able. Folks, we are at such an amazing point right now. We have seen God do such amazing things this past week. We have seen so many people get saved. We've seen people be ministered to. We've seen people step into a place of victory. We've seen people encouraged and strengthened. And though your physical body is saying, I'm tired, something on the inside is saying, let's go. This is not the time to put it on rest, pause mode spiritually. This is the time to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Keep reading your Bible. Keep coming to church. Keep reaching out. Because God wants you to not only grow, he wants you to make an impact in lives of other people. So many times we're like, ooh, I'm feeling good. Now I can just rest and relax until the next problem. No. How about you go to have a new norm? A norm plus plus in Jesus' name. Will you agree with that? Do you agree with that? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.